Calling all instructional coaches, curriculum specialists, teachers on special assignment, or whatever they call you. I'm Matteo Souza.
And I'm Katie Ritter. As instructional coaches, we are often responsible for our own professional learning and can sometimes feel pretty isolated in our role.
That's why we are here, bridging the gap with a wealth of tips, tricks, and building a community of coaches.
So hit the restart button with us.
Recharge your coaching batteries.
And hopefully you'll leave feeling just a little bit less on your own coaching island.
Hey there, and welcome back to the show. Today we're getting real. We're tackling the tightrope walk that is giving feedback to teachers. You know the drill. You're armed with notes and ready to inspire, but part of you wonders if you're going to elevate that teacher or crush their spirits. We're going to break down what works, what doesn't, and how to make your feedback hit the mark every time. Whether it's using the right words, timing it perfectly, or even bringing other strategies into the mix, we've got you covered. And for those who are new to this or maybe feeling a bit unsure, we are here to navigate these waters together. So grab your notes or just lean back and listen as we dive into the effective feedback and how it shapes our classroom. Back with us today is ever insightful Brooke Conklin, Assistant Director of Coaching Programs right here at Forward Edge. Brooke has years of experience as instructional design coach, now leads our coach certification programs, and steers the EDU Coach Network. She has not only shared her expertise in Google for Education's certified coaching curriculum, but also crafted a curriculum that's reshaping how we support instructional coaches. A champion for professional growth, Brooke has masterminded numerous book studies and continues to mentor instructional coaches, fostering a community of continuous learners. Brooke, welcome back to the pod.
Hi, Mateus. Thanks for having me, and thanks for reworking my bio. I would like to highlight the phrase, she has years of experience in the role. Let's make sure that no one thinks that I'm like ancient.
Well, initially it actually had the type on that said had year of experience and grammar was bad.
Oh, plus, well, more than one.
Right, more than one.
Less than 50.
Yeah, that's where we are. Sweet spot.
Longtime listeners of the pod will recognize Brooke, and we're super excited to have you back on the podcast, sharing your expertise. And Brooke, since last time you've been on the podcast, you've now been working on certification programs that we're partnering with a few different states. Do you want to give just a quick little summary of that work that you've been doing? Because I want our listeners to kind of hear about this additional new insight and perspective that you're bringing to the table here with us on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't believe it's been that long. I feel like so much has happened in a short amount of time. So somewhat recently in the last couple years, we've started to expand beyond supporting coaches through the podcast and through the EDU Coach Network. And we started partnering with state level organizations in Virginia, Michigan, and Georgia to offer training, education, and connection to their coaches across the state to help them in their role. So it's been really cool to see, and it's definitely helped me grow in my understanding of coaching, because I think at this point, we've had just shy of 800 coaches go through our certification programs in those three states. So you get to hear from experiences, not only from different coaches, but from different regions and areas supporting different demographics. We've talked to coaches and worked with coaches that are using so many different coaching models, have different systems for collecting data, have different systems for engaging with teachers. So just in this short amount of time, I really feel like my brain's kind of exploded in just getting to understand all the variations of coaching and what coaches do through these organizations and through the certification programs that we have.
Yeah, well, thank you. And we did have, I know you know this, but for our listeners, in case you're tuning in for the first time, or maybe you missed this episode, a few episodes ago, we actually had Emily Heller, who is the board chair of VISTE, and Brooke and Emily were really instrumental in working together to bring that first certification program to fruition. So if you're interested in learning more about those programs or how you might be able to help advocate, go back and listen to that episode with Emily Heller. But wanted you to give you a quick opportunity to, Brooke, because you've just been absolutely fundamental and crucial to bringing those to life, and excited to hear on this concept of feedback. having to learn how other coaches are giving it, but also giving a lot more of it yourself throughout the portfolio evaluations. Just interested in that perspective that you're going to bring with us today. So before I jump into our first question, I'm going to hopefully not throw you off your game, but I don't know when it was, 2 years ago, year and a half. I remember this somewhat distinct, nothing's that clear in my mind anymore, but I remember this somewhat distinct conversation that we had. You were actively coaching at a single school building, elementary school building. And I remember you having this kind of aha about feedback, and you really kind of dug in and explored and started reading more resources and trying to understand giving better feedback. And so if you can also vaguely remember that time.
I think I know what you're talking about, but yeah. Let me know if this isn't what you were thinking. At this particular school, I was a new coach. So I was really just trying to establish rapport with teachers, build relationships. I wasn't doing much in the realm of offering constructive feedback. I was just still trying to get them to like me. So I was in the teacher lunchroom one day, and I had been working in the school maybe a couple months. And the extent of my conversations with teachers were largely going in, checking in, clarifying my role, offering praises of things that I saw that were going really well. Nothing that would kind of rub anyone the wrong way. And in the lunchroom this particular day, I had this teacher come in, and she was kind of a hothead in general. There wasn't a lot that I think made her happy, but she was venting about a different coach, the math coach, who was working newly with the teachers as well. And she's complaining. She said, the math coach, I don't even know why we're paying her. Why are we could have hired another specials teacher. She's not doing anything. She asked if she could come in and observe my class. And I said, sure. She came in, she observed. And all she did was tell me what a nice job I did with XYZ. Why are we paying somebody just to like sing my praises? And so to me, as a coach that was also in a similar position as the math coach, I found myself kind of thinking about and reflecting on why this interaction went the way that it did, because I don't know that I would have done anything differently if I were the math coach. And I had, in fact, been offering a lot of praise and keeping my feedback pretty positive and surface level, because I wasn't quite established in the building yet. And I kind of came to understand through reading about feedback and looking at different examples of feedback and different scenarios that feedback really falls. And this is from, what's the book now? I think it's The Coaching Habit. And I'm going to blank on the author. I know his name is Michael, but he was it The Coaching Habit? Now I'm having second thoughts. We'll have to clarify in the pod notes, Mike or Mateus, which book I'm talking
about.
Maybe
I'll flesh out the.
Yeah. Yeah. I read a lot at this time, so they're blurring together. But this particular author classified feedback as being one of three types: praise, which was what myself and the math coach were doing, coaching, and then evaluation. And so it struck me after listening to this teacher kind of vent about the math coach that the teacher was not seeking praise. The teacher didn't want praise from this person. The teacher was expecting coaching. And when the teacher received praise, it made her feel like that was a waste of an interaction, a waste of a time. She didn't see purpose or value in it. So that opened my eyes to start thinking about the relationships that I did have with teachers, past and present, and if certain situations or certain relationships were more, or if coaching or evaluation was the type of feedback that those individuals desired. It also made me start to audit how much of my feedback was just purely praise versus like actually coaching. So I hope that was the interaction that you were thinking of, Katie.
That was exactly the interaction I was thinking of. I love when, after working together so long, people start to be able to read your mind. So thank you.
Did you figure out the book, though? Do we know the title? Yes,
Giving Effective Feedback.
And I am blanking on the author, too, but I believe it's a female.
Not Michael.
Okay. I think it is, too.
Yeah. But Giving Effective Feedback, yes. I read it on your recommendation. So thank you. I think that's just a really great way to kind of set the stage. because hearing you talk through that thought process and then some of the work that you did with our own team internally at the time, talking through that sort of aha moment thought process of, are we just giving praise? I think is where potentially a lot of coaches might find themselves in, sort of where we found ourselves as we were mapping out. And again, I say we, as Mateus was mapping out the new season of the pod and some of the episodes that our listeners might find beneficial. We felt like this time of year was a good time of year to be thinking about how we are giving feedback to our teachers. So kind of diving in there, and you touched on a point that we're going to circle around to on the whole trying to build relationship and build rapport, and how do you balance that act? So we'll circle back around to that topic. But in your experience, what is truly effective feedback? So you're saying you were kind of auditing the type of feedback you're giving. So what would you say, what is truly effective feedback that can lead to actionable change for teachers in your role as a coach?
Yeah. So I think it's important to note that all three types of feedback, praise, coaching, evaluation, they're all important. We need all of them in our roles. We need to be recognized for doing good work, for doing things correctly. We need someone coaching us and asking us those reflective questions to really think about our practice and our work so that we grow internally in our skill set. And we also need evaluation. And I'm going to asterisk that. Nobody come at me in the comments or whatever exists in the blog page. I know that coaches aren't evaluative, but individuals, we need evaluation to know how we stack up against the standard so that we can identify where we have room to grow. So I think, first of all, we have to recognize that all three of those are important. But I think effective feedback for teachers and the role of the coach, effective feedback really at the core is feedback or conversation and exchange with the teacher that leads to instruction improving. So that can be through praise, maybe, but it often is through more of a dialogue. And it's, so feedback doesn't necessarily need to be a post-it note of things for improvement left on the desk at the end of an observation. Feedback doesn't need to be us saying you should try this or this wasn't quite right. Feedback in a coaching sense often is more of a dialogue. And I also think it's important to note that for a coach to provide effective feedback, we have to approach it from a partnership mindset, mm-hmm. meaning that when we're entering the classroom and we are looking at what is happening in terms of instruction or the lesson or the teacher or the children, we have to approach any conversation where we want to change instruction from this mindset that we are a partner with the teacher, that we are an equal, not that we're there to fix them. So I those are all important things to note. But Katie, you asked about how we give feedback to make sure that it's actionable. That was the root of the question. So for that point, if we're wanting instruction to change, our feedback needs to come from a place of agreement with the teacher. I hope I'll clarify that here. So in a coaching role, when you are meeting with a teacher, when you are looking at instructional challenges or you're co-teaching or you're observing, feedback is rarely received well if we come at our teachers with, you need to do X, Y, Z better. Feedback is typically better received and therefore more actionable when we approach a teacher and we start a conversation about what the goals of the teacher are, or what the teacher is seeing in terms of the challenge, or the thought process of the teacher. When we start to ask questions and we turn our feedback from a statement into a dialogue, then we start to pull the teacher into our thought process and we open up their thinking so that they're then inspired to take action and they're inspired to be right in there with us to figure out a better way forward. So I guess my short and sweet to that is that effective feedback can take on many forms, but often it's a dialogue between the coach and the teacher towards a new way of doing something or a resolution or problem solving.
Awesome. And do you have, this might put you on the spot a little bit, but do you have, mm-hmm. could you give us like an instance or maybe even like a very brief like role play scenario of like a tangible specific thing you were giving feedback on to a teacher or a coach, and maybe some of the actual questions or the actual dialogue, or at least as close as possible to like paint that example a little bit.
I can play the role if we're doing some role play.
That might put my feedback skills to the test. Yeah. No, I have a situation in mind. So I was working with, well, I guess the campus was K-12, but this particular team was fourth grade that I had been having conversations with for a few weeks. And there was a growing amount of frustration from the fourth grade team at the misbehavior and chaoticness, the chaos that was the fourth grade students. So my fourth grade team was very frustrated. I was hearing a lot of language like, I would love to do station work, but my kids can't handle it. I would love to introduce XYZ tech, but I know that my kids are going to be, you know, they're not going to behave. They're going to be on other sites. There's no way they would do that responsibly. I don't have enough time because my kids, blah, 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 blah. There are just so many excuses, so much frustration, so much like emotional intensity about this group of kids. And so I met with the fourth grade team kind of individually, and I asked one particular teacher, I said, I have some ideas of some things that might help, but I've never been with your kids. I have my experience with my own students that I taught, but obviously yours are completely different. Could I come in and get just a better picture of where your kids are at, what they're like, what these misbehaviors are like? Can I come in and see it sometime? Would you mind if I just like sat in your room and kind of observed your kids before I start to problem solve with you on potential solutions? She's like, yeah, sure. Come see them. They're a mess. So I make an appointment. I go in and I watch her class. And what I see is that there's clearly a disconnect where the teacher is seeing the challenge as the student behavior. They also complain that there is a lack of administrative responsibility for these students, that they didn't have any support from their building leadership. So the teacher saw it as like the students were the problem. So from watching, I watch, and there's no beginning of class routine. The kids come in, there's nothing on the board. There's no like self-starting activities. It's just basically come in, sit down, and then start getting in trouble. And then also I saw clarity and directions was not great. The teacher was not providing very clear directions. It wasn't single step directions. It was multi-step directions. A lot of times students were getting lost. That's when the behavior problem started. So as a coach with an outsider's perspective and no relationship to these students, it was easy for me to pinpoint all these things that could be improved. Mm-hmm. But that's where I think we can fall into ineffective feedback pretty quickly. So to approach it from more of a partnership mindset.
And ineffective feedback, you mean to go say, hey, your directions aren't very clear. Hey, you don't have any of the classroom routine, right? And just like pinpoint all of these to you as an outsider glaring issues.
Exactly. Because that to me is evaluative feedback, which is what we veer away from as a coach. For me to go in and say, you know, you could do this better, this better, this better, while I sit on my ivory tower. So for providing more effective coaching feedback, you have to establish yourself as a partner in that problem. And you can do that often by questioning and making it kind of a joint venture. So instead of me going to this teacher and saying like, you know, I think your beginning of the classroom routines are pretty shoddy, I might on my follow-up with her say, hey, like, thanks for having me in. I started getting some ideas, but I want to pick your brain about a couple of things because I know I just saw 20 minutes of your class. Can you tell me a little bit more about your expectations when the kids come in? What are you expecting them to be doing? What should they be doing? And so then you're not putting the blame on the teacher of they're not doing something right, but you're trying to develop a better understanding. And then that led to a conversation of, well, I expect them to come in and they're not supposed to be talking and they're supposed to start getting like working on their work right away and blah, blah, blah. So then I'm able to follow up with that with another question. And I might say, okay, I understand. So your expectation is that like class starts from the minute they sit down. They're not supposed to be waiting on you to get started. That's correct. And then from there, I'm able to follow up with that follow that up with another question. And I might say, okay, I understand. So your expectation is that like class starts from the minute they sit down. They're not supposed to be waiting on you to get started. That's correct. You know, what would you think of housing your directions here? Or I'm wondering if maybe visual aids could be helpful. Have you thought about integrating something like this? And that's a pretty like simple solution, but through a line of questioning, you're able to get to the bottom of what the teacher's thought process is. And oftentimes teachers in that situation will start to like self-identify. Like, well, I haven't really thought about what I expect. I just expect them to listen to me. And then you're able to spark a dialogue about why that might not be happening, that's more teacher-led. So that, I guess, is my example of kind of a clear disconnection where I was able to offer feedback by probing with questions.
Yeah, no, that was a great, very specific example to help people kind of grasp what you mean when you say creating a dialogue and asking questions about it.
Yeah, I think it showed really well that you're really just becoming a partner in this process. You are not just standing there on the side telling them this is something you need to work on, this is something you need to improve on, but you are becoming a partner in the process by asking those questions and being part of deciding what could be coming up next. I think what is interesting to me is, I mean, as a coach, we will go out there, we will have these conversations. What do we do, though, if we have these conversations frequently, right? I mean, it might have happened before where I've gone into a room and I've seen something, I've given advice and best intentions, but it's not landing. It's still appearing. It's still the same issue. How is there any kind of advice you can give to someone that is giving the feedback, but not getting the response, not the action?
Yeah, I think if you feel like you're saying it and things aren't changing, chances are it's not being heard. So in that situation, I would encourage the coach to think about how they can have a more direct line of communication in that questioning. So whereas with my example, I might have asked the teacher, what do you want to see at the start of the class? She might have told me. I might have offered some solutions and then it's still not happening. Beginning of class is still chaotic. A more direct line of questioning that I could have tagged onto that would have been, okay, you're wanting to see your class do XYZ. How are you currently promoting that? How are you encouraging that right now? How are you reinforcing that right now? And so you're still approaching it from questioning, trying to get understanding, but you're also helping them to see more directly that they might be missing something. They might not be doing what they think they're doing. I also, if you're just feel like you're hitting a dead wall or hitting a wall, beating a dead horse to get my analogies mixed up, beating a dead wall. If you're just beating a dead wall, then I might try to flip the script. And this is, I don't know if we could say this is purely feedback, more so a coaching strategy, but with my teacher that's having classroom management issues and we're not getting anywhere, I might say, you know, I feel like this is still probably like a challenging point of your class for you. Like, am I correct in that assumption? And she might say, yes, they're still chaotic and crazy. Then I might try to flip the script. And instead of giving her feedback, I might say, okay, I want to try something with your class. I think it'll work. I don't know. Do you mind if I plan the first 20 minutes of your lesson on Thursday? You observe me and you give me feedback on what I could do differently to better meet your kids or give me feedback on what you think I'm doing that would work for your kids and not work for your kids. So if you can put yourself from like the passive ivory tower feedback provider to in the role, in their shoes, and you're seeking their feedback, it can help open their eyes to some strategies that they could try or some things that they could do. And then you're offering for them to give you feedback, which sparks more of a dialogue. So that would be another strategy if you're just not seeing results. You could also, and this takes a little bit of finesse because you never want anyone to feel like they're less than someone else, but peer observation is so powerful. If you can isolate what a teacher is really struggling with, maybe it's pacing of their lesson. If you can find some way in the schedule to have them go observe a peer teacher that is excellent at pacing, and you maybe you watch their class while they go do that, then they can see it in action from a peer, and then you're able to facilitate a conversation about pacing with the teacher and hopefully bring in some of those strategies to their own classroom. So those are all coaching techniques. I don't know if they're necessarily feedback, but it's a way to provide coaching feedback through dialogue.
Yeah, I think that was perfect. I mean, those are really great ideas. And we all know that it's easier to find fault in someone else's work than in my own, right? So having someone else come in and seeing either me do something or see another teacher be successful, I think those are great ways to kind of like self-reflect in that moment as well. I don't know. I feel like we've mentioned some good techniques. I do like the questioning approach. I do like all of that. But what about the compliment sandwich? Is it dead? Do we not do the compliment sandwich anymore? Something nice than something more? I don't know. I need to know.
So here's my short answer to that is that I don't like the compliment sandwich. I think it's fake, especially if you're intentionally doing it. And I think it reads fake. And I think that we don't have enough time for that. So my alternative to the compliment sandwich is to invest in the relationship before you start the feedback. If you have a good enough relationship with someone where they know that you think they are a fantastic teacher, there is no question in the relationship that you hold them in high esteem. When you offer feedback or you ask a question about their instruction, they're not going to doubt themselves because you've already built into them enough that they know you think that they're great. So I do encourage, maybe this goes against what I said earlier about the praise situation, we're all going to be scarred from the math coach, but at the beginning of giving feedback, the best thing that you can do is to get comfortable inserting yourself in situations to give praise. If you're not comfortable getting into the classroom, giving feedback on what you saw in the classroom isn't going to be comfortable. So if you can get comfortable asking to sit in on lessons, to observe, to be a part of their instruction, and then you can get comfortable pointing out very specific things to praise them on, you're going to build your relationship. You're going to build your ability to give feedback. And then when you are ready or you see something that you can question to improve the instruction, it's going to feel more natural to you and the teacher because you're already part of their instruction and you've already seen all the great work that they're doing and you've already acknowledged that. So I would say to get rid of the compliment sandwich and to be authentic and celebrate the great things your teachers are doing so that they don't doubt their abilities whenever you do provide feedback.
Yeah.
That's a great point, Brooke, because I feel like a lot of times coaches avoid giving feedback that isn't just that praise or appreciation or, hey, you did a great job feedback, mm-hmm. because they're trying to protect that relationship. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I know you kind of touched on it at the beginning, right? Like in your scenario, you had walked in as a brand new coach to this building. So you were really focused on building the relationship. So you wanted to tell people, you know, hey, you're doing a good job versus, well, maybe you're not starting your classroom instruction so great, which to be clear, that's not what you're saying to do anyway, at any point, no matter how long you've known these people. But is there anything else you would touch on or a bit of advice you might share to coaches who feel like they're in this like limbo balancing act of trying to build the relationship and get comfortable with providing feedback as well?
I mean, I think the hardest part is from talking to a lot of coaches, I see a lot of coaches struggle with just getting into the classroom to observe and feeling comfortable asking for that, feeling comfortable doing that. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's the first step. And then the next thing that I would advise if you're having trouble just mentally being comfortable with providing feedback is to start with questions, true partnership questions. Don't come into it with any assumptions about the lesson, about the instruction, about the ability of the teacher at all. Just true curiosities. So if you're in the classroom, you're seeing something happen, be curious. Think curiously about something. And then in your conversation with the teacher, bring up that curiosity and say like, you know, I'm really interested in how you've structured your station time. You've kind of approach this a lot differently than I've seen in some other classrooms. Could you tell me more about that? And you can start a dialogue where they're sharing. And then when they do start to express maybe some insecurity about something they've thought of, or maybe they honestly like haven't given any thought to their stations. They just thought that's how it was done. When you see a window to provide feedback and they start to like maybe invite you to give your ideas, something that you can do is to offer to observe, to offer to see their stations in action and ask them, is there anything you'd like me to give you feedback on? That is something that's been new to me in working with a lot of the coaches in the coaching certification, is just the concept of asking. Don't come in there, you know, knowing it all and giving all of your feedback. Ask the teacher what they would like you to see and ask the teacher what they would like your feedback on. When the teacher asks for it, it's much more comfortable to share genuinely like your thoughts around the topic. So that would be my next suggestion, is if you find the window where they start to express insecurity or hesitation or solicit your ideas, ask if you can come in and ask if there's anything that they would like you to provide feedback on.
That's great.
I think you hit that so well. We are experts in our field in some sense, but when we go to a teacher, we need to acknowledge them as the experts in their field as well. And if we come in curious and questioning and wanting to learn more about what they're doing. I mean, I was a German teacher, but if I go to a different class, a different subject, I have a lot to learn. And if I come in with that mindset of I want to learn about what's going on here, and I also want to give praise when I see some good, that's how I build rapport. Because I show that teacher, look, I respect you for what you do. This is amazing. And yeah, I think you really hit it on the head on this one.
Great point. I like the underline there on the, they're an expert too. So acknowledging that goes a long way. Were you going to ask her a question, Matthias?
I was going to go into break for a second.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a real quick short break, and we're going to hand this over to our advertisers, and we will be right back with Brooke Conklin.
Looking for a program that reaches all teachers in learning new tools to integrate in their lessons? Edu Badges is the answer. Edu is an anytime, anywhere badging program that is designed to take bite-sized tools for instruction and teach teachers how to use them. Edu has received the ISTE Seal of Alignment for Educator Standards, and each badge in our expanding library is aligned to the ISTE standards and the SAMR model. Learn more about the program that teachers call addicting at forward-edge.net/edubadges.
Calling all instructional coaches. Join Forward Edge for Coaches Camp in summer of 2024. Coaches Camp is packed with high-quality professional development exclusively for you. Attendees will work with like-minded coaches on creating strategies for building teacher relationships, executing coaching cycles, and building a culture of coaching and tech integration within their school district. There are two opportunities to attend Coaches Camp in the summer of 2024. You can either join us virtually July 22nd through 24th, or come to Cincinnati on July 29th and 30th. Please visit forward-edge.net/coachcamp to reserve your spot today.
Welcome back to the Restart Recharge podcast. Your host, Matthias Huza, and Katie Ritter here, and we are interviewing longtime pod guest Brooke Conklin, offering all things feedback. So, Brooke, you have really given, I think, like just these overarching great nuggets. One, make feedback more of a dialogue when you're in the role of a coach. Build those relationships first. Then make feedback a dialogue and ask a lot of questions. Establish yourself as a partner in the process. So these are great things. I think your tangible example you gave us earlier in the episode of your situation did a really nice job of painting examples of what you mean by that. For our coaches who might be new to really giving structured feedback, or maybe this just lit an aha and they just realized all that they're really doing is giving, you know, praise feedback and telling teachers like, wow, this was great what you did, who are going to start to make the shift. Do you have some tangible strategies or tips that you might give someone to help them? Because I just think of, you know, your example of how your teacher, you noticed that they didn't have a starting routine. And so you said, what are your expectations when students come in at the beginning of the room? And you making that connection from observation to question that made it more of a dialogue, I think was really, really key there, how you did that. So I'm just wondering what tips and strategies would you give someone who's brand new to that and who might not think as quickly on their feet in that moment to ask that type of a question and create that dialogue? How can somebody build up that skill set?
That's a great question, Katie. And I do think that coaching, just like teaching, is an art form. There's not necessarily a list of steps that you have to do to get it right. So I think the first thing that comes to mind is just to be aware of what good teaching looks like. That sounds like a not helpful advice, but I'm going to point everyone in in a direction that will hopefully help. So if, I don't know if we show this thing on video or not, but we'll link it in the show notes. I have a book here that has helped me. So I'm a former seventh grade social studies teacher. I have only ever taught social studies. So for me, giving feedback to a math teacher or science teacher felt very out of my element. But what this book does, it's called The Artisan Teacher, and it is by Mike Rutherford. And on his website, it's www.rutherfordlg.com, O-R-D-L-G.com. He has these resources. They're free. You can also buy the book too. But he has a memory jogger that you can download that has instructional concepts that I found really helpful in giving feedback as a coach. So things like neural downshifting, the ability of the teacher to reduce stress and threat in the classroom environment to avoid survival mode thinking and to increase higher order thinking. That is something that, like, we see it happen. Teachers take these really scary concepts, these very, really abstract concepts, and they make them easily attainable for our students. They make them friendly. That's called neural downshifting. I wouldn't have known that. But putting a name to that gives me something to look for so that when I am in a classroom and I see a teacher who's starting a unit on, I don't know, quantum physics, and they start it out with like a comedic clip, I can point that out and I can say, hey, Mr. Larry, like, that was a great job of neural downshifting. Quantum physics seems like something that could be a pretty heavy for your second graders. And you put in that comedic clip and you gave them something to relate to right away. Or vice versa, if you are entering a classroom that maybe you can't praise neural downshifting, you might look at this and you might say, okay, there's a problem with neural downshifting here. Students are having trouble connecting to this. So your coaching question might be, Mr. Larry, I'm really excited to see what comes out of your unit on quantum physics. That's something that's always like interested me personally. I'm curious, how do you help your students, your second graders, connect to this really complicated topic? So that is a coaching question about neural downshifting, but you wouldn't necessarily know to point that out unless you had familiarity with these like teaching concepts. Other ones that are something I think we point out a lot as coaching, there is stagecraft, the ability of the teacher to enhance, deepen, or prolong student engagement by utilizing a theatric treatment. We see that all the time, but putting a name to it makes it more specific and it provides greater recognition or greater clarity to our teachers if we're able to call it by name. Chunking is another one that we're all pretty familiar with. Congruency, designing classroom activities that are matched to the learning goals. So I think back to the question, just getting familiar with like foundational instructional elements. If you need a place to go to, Artisan Teacher is a great place. But that can give us a bank of concepts to then be on the lookout for when we are in classrooms providing feedback.
Say that book name one more time, Brooke, because I think that's a great point. And I think especially for our tech coach listeners or our just general instructional coach listeners that are supporting K-12 or multiple grade bands, multiple content areas. You know, you mentioned going into math class was really scary to you. I think every single one of us who have had to coach grade bands beyond what we were certified in or content areas beyond what we are certified in, or shoot, even the same content area, but a class you never taught, can be really scary to go in and like, you're the instructional coach now. So say that one more time, because sounds like this is a great, get yourself up to speed quickly to be able to have common conversations across grade bands and content areas.
Yeah, it's called The Artisan Teacher, A Field Guide to Skillful Teaching, and it is by Mike Rutherford. Awesome. I don't need to know anything about quantum physics or the topic at hand, but I can call out some chunking and I can call out some time and timing if I know to look for it.
I love how it used quantum physics. I feel like that is the proverbial sixth gear of school learning would be quantum physics. There is only downshifting at that point, I feel like.
Yeah, I look forward to the second graders quantum physics lesson.
Yeah. I really just thought about like the most complicated thing that I remember hearing about, and it seems like it's probably that. Go ahead.
I have a quick question. I like how we're breaking this down into actual approaches that you can use and turn this into things that we can immediately turn into our coaching habits. What about preparing for a conversation where you're about to give feedback? Let's say you observed a classroom, you've done the work, you've got your notes. What can I do as a coach in terms of preparing myself before I go into that conversation with my teacher?
Yeah. Are you asking like emotionally, like self-confidence wise, or are you thinking just being ready for it mentally?
Probably a little bit of both. There's going to have to be some mental toughening done potentially for some of us. It's more about how do I structure my thoughts? Maybe what do I want to think about before I go into this conversation? Maybe what do I want to write down in my notes before I go in?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mateus. So I think the first thing to mentally prepare and get yourself in the right mindset, and we're pretending that we've already done an observation, we've been a part of a lesson, we've co-taught, we've seen it. The first thing you can do on your own is to make a list of the assumptions you're making before you give feedback, because we don't want to bring any assumptions into our feedback. We see maybe 45 minutes of a full lesson. We don't see the teacher every week in their class. We don't see the planning that goes into it. We don't see how it ends up. We see a very small microcosm of that instruction. So write down any assumptions you catch yourself making about the lesson so that you're aware of those assumptions. The second thing I would do is to write down curiosities or questions that would help me have a more complete picture of the instruction and even maybe of the challenge. So in my example with classroom management, my assumptions might be that this teacher has never thought about putting directions on the board. That would be an assumption I was making. A curiosity I might have is, what does the teacher want the start of the class to look like? Some teachers don't want the class to start until they verbally start the class. Other teachers want the students to get started right away. So that's something that I can clarify to make the environment what the teacher wants it to be. So I'm putting my assumptions, I'm putting down my questions, and then my next thing would be to vet my questions and take out any you language as much as possible. If we start asking why did you, or, and I know I already gave an example using a you, so here I am a hypocrite, but if we say why did you choose this, have you thought about that, what are you doing, you, if not done correctly, can put teachers on the defensive, because now we're questioning their ability. Mm-hmm. If looking at your questions, if you can turn it into be more student focused or task focused. So maybe a better version of my question would have been, what should the students be doing when they come in? How should the students be acting if this were like the perfect day? Or I might address the student's relationship to the learning task and say, instead of saying like, have you thought of using more technology to get them excited about learning, I might ask, how have the students responded to technologies like Padlet or Flipgrid in the past? So if you can take away as much like defensive you language as possible, I think that that's really helpful. And then I guess the next step is just to have a conversation with the teacher. And I would encourage you, if it's appropriate, maybe start out by asking them, like, what would you like feedback on based on like the observation? Was there anything that happened while I was in there that you would like to start talking about? Maybe this teacher doesn't care about the start of the bell. Maybe the teacher cares about the middle of the bell. So put it in their plate of where they want to start the conversation. And then one of my favorite tips that has become more emphasized, I guess, in my brain since working with all these coaches through the certifications is that we as the coach should never be the first ones to insert our opinions or our thoughts on a matter. So if I'm coming into this teacher's classroom, I'm not going to start by listing out everything I saw. I'm going to get their thoughts, their opinions, their perspectives before I ever share anything that ran across my brain. They are the expert. They, whether they're the best teacher you've seen or not in that moment, they are the expert, and they are fully competent of making decisions, and they are fully competent of knowing their kids. And I think if we come in with that mindset, that it really changes the reception of feedback.
All right, Brookie, you know that we end every episode with top three tips, but we're putting a fun spin on it. If you want to take it with a top three things not to do, or mix and match, you can do that.
You can, wherever you want to go.
Whichever way you want to go. You drive the conversation here. But your top three tips and takeaways, giving effective feedback and getting more comfortable giving teachers effective feedback.
That's tough. I was trying to think if I had three of either of those, never or always. I'll mix and match. Is that okay?
Yeah, that works.
That's why I gave you the option. Okay. I would need a mix.
Perfect. All right, I'm going to count on my fingers so that I make sure I get to three. So my never is never assume you have the whole story. There's a lot of inside information that exists beyond what you saw. My always is always maintain a partner mindset. You are in it with them. You're not above or below. Everything you're doing together is for the kids, and you guys are partners in that. My third tip is to start to identify and recognize the type of feedback you're giving. So that being, are you falling into maybe too much comfort with praise? And that's the type of feedback you're giving all the time is only praise. Or are you really getting to meaty coaching conversations and opening up feedback dialogues that way? So never assume you have the whole story. Always maintain a partner mindset and start to recognize the difference between praise and coaching.
Those are great.
That's fantastic indeed.
Very great.
Great. Brooke, thank you so much. You've given us and our listeners so many great things to take away from this. Feedback is on everyone's mind all the time. We're doing it all the time. So this has been incredibly helpful. Thank you so much, Brooke, for joining us today.
Thank you guys for having me.
And speaking of feedback, listeners, if you would love to give us some feedback, come and join us on our social media outlets. Come to TikTok, come to Facebook, come to Instagram, say hi, let us know what you're thinking. We would love to engage with you. So
I'm going to build on asking for feedback.
Okay.
This is another tip that Brooke has given, not on this episode, but previously. A lot of times you can make feedback, you can normalize it with your teachers by asking for feedback for yourself in your own work. So I would like to normalize feedback and ask you, dear listeners, to give us some feedback by rating and reviewing the podcast. If you use Apple Podcasts, you can go, you know what? I'm going to take out my phone. We're just going to walk through it. But if you go to Apple Podcasts, where then you find Restart Recharge, you're going to click on the pod. And then if you click the three dots in the top of the show, you should be able to subscribe to the podcast. And if you scroll, I believe, all the way down on the information page of the podcast, you should be able to get to the ratings area. So you just scroll down past the list of recent episodes, and then that's where it will give you the ability to rate and review. And it really helps people find the podcast, understand what we're about.
And if you listen to our podcast on Spotify, you can look up under the search tab and then click under about, where you will see a little star rating and you can leave your opinion right there.
So if you have found this at all helpful, I joked at the beginning that we had a few people tell us they listen when we were at our most recent conference at FETC in Orlando, but truly it means the world to us that we are helping create a community and conversation around coaching.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Brooke.
Bye, team.
Thanks for spending time with us today. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with an educator friend.
And connect with us on social media at @RRCoachCast to let us know what you thought of the episode and what topics you want us to discuss next.
New episodes drop every other Tuesday. Be sure to subscribe to Restart Recharge wherever you listen to podcasts.
So press the restart button.
Recharge your coaching batteries and leave feeling equipped and inspired to coach fearlessly with the Restart Recharge podcast.
A tech coach collective.